Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Wednesday hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is Wednesday, January 27th, 2021, and I hope you all are doing well out there. I hope you all are having a great week out there. Me, personally, I got to admit, guys, I'm not feeling my best, you know, and I felt it coming too. You know when you feel like something is coming on around this time of the year, when you feel like you may be getting a cold, you know, and you get that itch in your nose or in the back of your throat, but you want to ignore it because you're still fighting it. It's in the early days. Well, that's what I've been doing the last few days. And then this morning it was like, Al, you're sick. You have a head cold. And I'm glad it's just that. I'll just say that going, you know, getting sick in the midst of a pandemic is not ideal, right? But I'm glad it's just that. You know, I just have a ton of congestion in my nose that is causing me to be a bit groggy and drowsy. I just want to lay in the bed all day. I woke up at 8 a.m. because the congestion was just so bad, and I just sat up in my living room staring out the window like, why? Why me? Then actually tried to go back to bed for a little bit. And then, of course, woke up and started prepping and you know, getting at the show today. So not feeling my best. After I get off the airwaves today, I will be trying to rest as much as possible while trying to, of course, still work. So anywho, that's what I'm dealing with. I hope you guys are doing much better than I am. You know, the high is just like something like 20 degrees today. We got a ton of snow on Monday night going into Tuesday morning. So I hope you all were and are safe driving in that stuff. You know, a lot going on this week. You know, yesterday we ran an encore presentation of the Monday edition of the show. And yesterday happened to be the one-year anniversary of the death of Kobe Bryant. And, you know, I just had to take a moment during the day yesterday because, you know, many of you who listen to the show know that Kobe is one of my inspirations, man. I mean, how can you not be inspired by this dude? And, you know, I'm going through Kobe's Mamba Mentality book, you know, Kobe Bryant's Muse is one of my favorite documentaries out there. You know, I'm looking to my right now and you know, on my vision board that I have right next to my dining room table where I do all of my work. On my vision board, there's a picture of Kobe Bryant kissing, you know, an Academy Award. He actually won an Academy Award for his amazing short film, animated short film entitled Dear Basketball. You know, I just, as I scrolled through Instagram and I was looking at all of the different tributes to Kobe Bean and his beautiful, talented, you know, she was really going to become like, you know, she was really going to become the Bryant that took up the mantle for her father of basketball and take it to another level. And we all knew that Gigi was going to go to UConn and then get drafted and go to the WNBA and become one of the greatest to ever do it. And we were all excited about her future with that. But, you know, watching all of the tributes to Kobe, Gigi, and, you know, all of those other lives that were lost in that helicopter on that tragic day last year, it just, you know, you can't help but feel something, man. And, you know, I just sat back and had a, you know, it's one of those moments, you know, that death right there is one of those deaths, one of those moments in our lives that we'll never forget where we were when we heard the news and what went through our body. You know, I've if you haven't heard this story before, I'll tell it again. I was at a photo shoot for promotion for my very first acting film entitled I Vow, which you can now catch on Amazon Prime. But, you know, we were sitting there. I was there with the other actors. And, you know, I'm sitting there getting ready for my turn to go up there and shoot. And I'm sitting there with my guy, Ward Beard, who is also a local radio personality here in Lansing, Michigan, who is just uber talented. And we were just sitting there, and he turned to me and said, Kobe Bryant just died. And I looked at him like, what? What are you talking like? Like, dude, that's a bad joke. I mean, well, where are you hearing that from? Because that is totally bogus. And then he, you know, that I gave him that look. I didn't say that, but I gave him that look. And then he stares at me and says, no, Kobe Bryant just died. And I remember I looked at him in the eye and I saw how serious he was. And I knew he wasn't joking. But I still thought he was joking. You know what I mean? Because you say something like that, you know, even with the serious face, it's like, I can't believe that. My mind couldn't process it. And he turned the phone around, and it was from TMZ. And TMZ is pretty spot on with their reporting. And once I saw that it was TMZ, I remember having like this physical numbing reaction to it. It was something that I couldn't really describe. I just remember my body like feeling like it was, you know, when your arm falls asleep and you feel like there's like pins and needles. That's how it felt. That's how my body felt. Half of my body, like my upper body, felt that way. And I had to like get up and just kind of walk it off. And then everybody around us, the news started traveling, and they started having, you know, this audible reaction, like, what? No. And then our director, Ken, turned around like, what's going on? And I'm like, man, Kobe Bryant just died. And then he says, what? No. And we all had to take at least like a 5 to 10 minute break from the shoot. And, you know, I just kind of stood in shock. And then as we learned, as time started to go on that day, you know, we started to read rumors that there were other people close to him that may have been in the plane. And when we found out that Gigi was in the plane, oh my gosh, I can't. Heavy. It still doesn't feel real. I still can't believe it's been a year. 2020 was not kind. And, you know, when you look at everything that happened in 2020, that was one of the most challenging years, if not the most challenging year in all of our lives, in most of our lives. Because this was pre-pandemic, if you remember. This was, you know, January 26th of 2020. The pandemic hit here in the States, causing, you know, a nationwide shutdown in March. But when you look back at it, the death, and I've always said this, the death of Kobe Bryant was that moment that started off the turmoil, the incredible travesty that was 2020. That's what started it. And I still can't believe, man. And I sat up, you know, yesterday watching a lot of the tributes on ESPN, you know, Rachel Nichols and her show, The Jump. They had an hour-long tribute where they counted down Kobe Bryant's top 24 moments. And, man, Kobe was such a baller. I mean, he's in my personal top five basketball players of all time. I mean, you know, you guys know how big of a Michael Jordan fan I am. Michael Jordan is the greatest to ever play. But if there is one man who was like a replica of him and a pretty darn good replica of him, still not quite Mike, but man, you know, on many plays, if he was bald with the number 23 slapped on the back of that jersey, you would have thought it was Mike. If there was anybody that was close, it was Kobe Bryant. And Kobe Bryant, you know, openly admits that, you know, Kobe admits that he patented his game after Mike. He would blow him up with questions left and right. You know, that famous story of when they first met in the game, and Kobe is like asking Michael Jordan questions about, you know, how do you feel your defender on your turnaround jumper? And he's asking him this at half court of a game, and Mike is just telling him, hey, you feel him with your feet. You know, you feel him with your feet. The audacity of a kid, you know, who's still a teenager, fresh out of high school into the NBA to ask the greatest of all time during a game, how does he feel his defender on his turnaround fadeaway jumper? Oh, man, it just shows you. I mean, Kobe was... That's a lesson we can all learn, man. If you want to be great at what you do, that's what Kobe Bryant was all about. You know, he told, I didn't know this story either. You know, Shaquille O'Neal was on Stephen A's show yesterday, Stephen A. Smith's show yesterday on ESPN, and he said that Kobe came up to him as this young teenager fresh out of high school and told Shaq that I want to become the Will Smith of the NBA. Of the basketball world. You know, Will Smith being one of the biggest movie stars in the world. It's amazing, right? He knew what he wanted. And that's intentional. That's intention. That's speaking it into the universe and then putting in the work and allowing the universe to do the rest. Simple as that. But you know, Kobe, you know, he knew what he wanted. And he was not shy about asking the greats about how to improve. And that's a lesson we can all learn. You know, if there's something you truly want to be great at, look at the other greats in your field and hit them up. You know, shoot them a message on LinkedIn or an email. Or if they're celebrities, hey, take a shot and hop in their DMs on Instagram or on Twitter. You know, I am a firm believer in that. And if you want to be the best or one of the best to ever do it in your field, you have to learn from other greats in your field. And Kobe certainly did that. But they were counting down his top 24 moments, and man, did he have some good ones. You know, I remember that, you know, they flash back, and I had forgotten about this play, but that dunk on Dwight Howard where he, like, hangs on the rim. And I didn't even know, you know, Kobe... Jalen Rose told this story. I showed you. I spent a lot of time yesterday just listening to all these tributes to Kobe. But Jalen Rose told a story yesterday. And they were close friends. You know, the Kobe Bryant commercial with Jalen Rose where Jalen walks in and sees Kobe like, hey, man. And then the waiter comes to Kobe and says, you know, what would you like? He says, I think he says like a vodka martini. And the waiter asks how many olives. And he says, 81. And he stares at Jalen, and Jalen's like, really, dude? Because Kobe, of course, put up 81 points against Jalen's Toronto Raptors, one of the highest scoring games in NBA history, right? That moment was number one, if you care, on NBA's Jump with Rachel Nichols as they counted down those top 24 moments. The 81-point game was number one, but that was just classic. So, so classic. But, you know, Jalen Rose told a story of, you know, how Kobe had a conversation with Dwight Howard at his Mamba camp, and Jalen was standing right there, and he knew Kobe after he got on the phone with Dwight Howard before the move happened to bring Dwight Howard to the L.A. Lakers, which was an absolute fail. Kobe stated to Jalen that if his head is not in the right place, this won't work. And it didn't work. So just stories like that, man. You know, and they were counting down those top 24 moments. And, you know, I remember the Blazers game where Kobe hit those two big threes. One, you know, to tie the game, to push it to extra sessions. And then the one to win it where he just threw it up, hand in his face, high arc, and it hits nothing but net. Just beautiful as Kobe falls to the floor. I remember that moment. I went to school the next day. And, my grandparents, they were picking us up from school the next day. And me and my grandfather were just talking about that shot. Like, man, Kobe was amazing against Portland last night, against the Trailblazers last night. We were just sitting up there talking about it in his old sky blue Cougar. I never forget that. Never forget that. I don't know why that conversation just stands out, because that was just a moment. That was such a big moment when Kobe, you know, was on that crazy, crazy tear during that time, especially those two shots. But so many. And then his last game, you know, scoring, you know, 60 points in his final game. So many Kobe Bryant memories, and, you know, those are the things we hold on to now. And it's also a reminder that, you know, Kobe once said this as well, that one of the biggest misconceptions that we have is that we have time. And we don't. None of us live forever. We all wish we could, but none of us do. We all are staring at the clock of life, and every day you wake up with breath in your lungs, you got to appreciate it, and you got to live life to the fullest. Stephen A. Smith asked Shaquille O'Neal yesterday, does he have any regrets when looking at his relationship with Kobe Bryant? And he said the only regret that he has is that he wished he would have hit up Kobe more post-basketball. And really cultivated that relationship more after basketball ended. He has that regret and the other regret that he didn't hit up his sister more before she died, because Shaquille O'Neal's sister passed away a couple of months before Kobe Bryant passed away. So a rough, rough time for Shaquille O'Neal for sure. But there's a message there that, you know, if there's anybody in your life that, you know, you haven't talked to in a while, any family member, any friend, maybe a friend that you're holding a grudge with for years, life is way too short, man. And you got to ask yourself, if they died right now, how would you feel? What would go through your mind? I got some people I'm thinking about right now, you know, that I need to hit up and just check on and just say hello, because it's been far too long since I hit them up, and I love them. So I encourage you to do that today. Do it some point this week, you know. Hit somebody up that you have not hit up in a while. Check on them. Have a conversation with them. Let them know that you love them. Okay? So I also thought about this as well, as it was reported yesterday that Sekou Smith, who is a longtime NBA reporter and television analyst, he sadly passed away on Tuesday after a battle with COVID-19. Just 48 years old. 48. And he was from here in Michigan. You know, I learned about Sekou's death, and I've seen him numerous times on television giving his thoughts on the NBA. But he's from Michigan. He's from Grand Rapids, Michigan, actually. Went to college at Jackson State in Mississippi. And, you know, he reported at the Clarion Ledger in Jackson, went on to become a fixture in the NBA universe. Beat writer covering the Indiana Pacers for the Indianapolis Star and then the Atlanta Hawks for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. That's before joining the Turner Sports family in 2009. And for more than a decade, you know, he was on all platforms for Turner. NBA TV, he wrote for NBA.com, and he was also a host of the Hang Time podcast. So thoughts and prayers go to his wife, Heather, and their three children, Gabrielle, Riley, and Cameron. COVID-19 taking one of the staples in the NBA reporting world. You know, Chris Paul reached out on Twitter and gave his condolences, saying, quote, man today, just got a little heavier. My condolences to Sekou's wife, family, and friends and extended NBA family. What a kind and compassionate man we just lost. Dwayne Wade tweeted, quote, I've never had anything but positive interactions and conversations with Sekou Smith. Our prayers go out to the Smith family. We lost a good one. Rest in heaven. So many players, so many colleagues reaching out. Smith also, he was a fan of the Michigan Wolverines. he mentored countless colleagues in the business. He was a member of NABJ. Shout out to all my black journalists out there and those who are a part of the National Association of Black Journalists. And, yeah, and he also was one of the journalists who spent time inside the NBA's bubble at the Walt Disney World Resort in Orlando to cover last season's playoffs, including the NBA Finals. So Sekou was a kind spirit, according to so many different people. And, again, losing the battle to COVID-19, also another sobering reminder that we all need to mask up, we all need to be safe, and we all need to take this thing serious. Take it serious, folks. Because it has now killed over 400,000 people here in our country and millions worldwide. And this new variant that's coming out is pretty scary. It's more contagious than, you know, the first COVID-19. It's tough. So heavy week, a heavy way to start Current Sports. Sorry about that. but I wanted to talk about the death of Kobe Bryant, and I had to address Sekou's death. And I hope that you guys, you know, if anything to start the show, what I just stated, if anything doesn't resonate, I hope at least you reaching out to somebody you love. I hope that resonates, and I hope many of you do that. Okay. But thoughts, concerns, comments, any thoughts on Kobe's death, memories of Kobe Bryant? You know, if you want to share a thought on where you were and how you got the news when you found out that Kobe Bean passed away, and what his life and legacy means to you, I encourage you to be a part of the show and let your voice be heard. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. And hit us up on Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. I want to hit our first break. When we come back, I want to talk some Michigan State men's basketball. I want to touch on a few things when it comes to Tom Izzo Spartans. You'll hear from Tom Izzo himself. That and more, you're listening to WKAR's Current Sports. I want to talk some Michigan State men's basketball right now, and I got some updates concerning those game postponements that occurred for Michigan State due to the COVID-19 outbreak within the Spartans basketball program. So the schedule was changing on the fly, and Michigan State will travel to Iowa to make up that game that was originally scheduled for January 14th. They will travel to Iowa next Tuesday to make up that game. So tip-off time remains in limbo, and it will be broadcast. We do know that it will be broadcast on Fox Sports 1. So that means that Michigan State's home game with Nebraska has been pushed back 3 days until February 6th. That will now be a 6:30 p.m. start at the Breslin Center, and the Big Ten Network will air that one. Okay? So that means that the Spartans need three more postponed league games rescheduled. Home versus Indiana in Illinois, and on the road at Michigan. That was originally scheduled. That Michigan game was originally scheduled for February 6th. MSU also had its game at Virginia scheduled for December 10th called off, if you remember. And I don't know if that one will be rescheduled. According to Chris Solari of the Free Press, he doesn't believe that one will be that game will be rescheduled. So, yeah. And right now, Michigan State is scheduled to play at Rutgers tomorrow night at 7 p.m. on Fox Sports 1 and at Ohio State this Sunday at 1 p.m. on CBS. So I want to let you guys know that. When it comes to most recent positive tests for Michigan State men's basketball, Gabe Brown and assistant coach Dane Fife have tested positive for COVID-19. So there's your postponement news and your latest positive test for MSU basketball. But they're back at it. Michigan State is back practicing, and that game against Rutgers will still take place tomorrow night. Here's a bit of what Tom Izzo had to say to us media members during his media availability yesterday.
Well, coming off my first practice, where we actually had an official practice yesterday, and it was not full, of course. We still have a couple players out. We did have another positive test at the end of last week with Gabe Brown that we had to same kind of situation where it was negative, and then we had to get it retested. And when we did, it was positive. We also had one with one of our assistant coaches yesterday. So we're hoping to have Gabe back by early in February. As far as the coach, he'll be off for 10 days. And that's kind of where we're at. We did have a great workout, really the first one where we could get up and down a little bit. But it's been different, for the last couple of weeks. And the reason it's been different has been a lot of individual work. We've separated some guys. We kind of went over and above, our Big Ten protocols to test 6 days a week. We've tested 7 days a week ever since the end of October. We also kind of separated our guys because we've got a lot of guys that have had it now, and we're down to a couple that didn't. So we kept them separate, which is going to help. We've already talked to the people at Rutgers, and throughout the season, we've taken all the medical advice. I told you early, I'm not into political advice. I'm into medical advice. We've done that. No point that our numbers require us to shut down by that protocol. We did make a decision to postpone games. And that was because not only for ourselves and health and well-being, but after going through what we went through at Virginia and seeing some other teams go through it, I contacted Iowa myself and just asked Fran what he thought. So there's been very good communication with our coaches in general. We've talked at length yesterday in a Big Ten meeting. I talked to Matt Painter when he had a player go down. I talked to Juwan Howard. So we're going to continue to test daily and do what we have to do. And we're supplementing with PCR tests. So we're almost doubling up multiple times a week. As I said, we've been in contact with Rutgers. Obviously, you've seen how fast things can change, but we're raring to go, ready to go. And if there's one thing that we have gone through, it's that we have a large number of players now that have had it throughout the school year. And we're prepared to play on Thursday. Everything's go for us on Thursday. Rutgers is prepared for us to play Thursday. And hopefully, we'll get some people back as time marches on. So I'm sure you got a million questions. I'll take 10 of them.
We'll go first to Brendan Quinn from The Athletic.
Tom, so how many players do you expect to have available on Thursday?
I expect to have 11 or 12 players available.
So the guys you previously tested last week, or I guess 2 weeks ago, it's hard keeping track of these things.
It's hard keeping track. I'm with you. You know, I got a list. We think Steven and Josh should be eligible on that day for their first day of competition. They've been able to be in the protocol now. They've had their heart test, so they're in the workout part of it today, tomorrow. And then the 17th day, I think, would be on the game day. So there's a chance. I don't know if they'll play, but there's a chance that they could be in there spotting for a little bit.
And in terms of the Rutgers game being played, is that still kind of a day-to-day thing?
I don't. Not to me, it's not. Not to Rutgers, it's not. Unless something happens at their place. You know, we're running out of people to it happen to. You know, there's a couple of teams that have had a lot of people. There's a couple of teams that have had almost no people. As you can see, you know, I don't know everything about Michigan, but that they don't have anybody right now that even has it, and the health department shut them down, or the athletic department decided to. So it's so much of this stuff is out of our hands. That's why I said I'm just doing what our medical people say. I've been very comfortable with that. You know, we probably could have played that game in Virginia, and if we would have, it could have been a little bit disastrous, as that next 2 weeks they went on pause because they had more guys than they thought. But our medical people and theirs got together, and those are the decisions that made. Coaches don't always make great decisions on these kind of things, so we kind of take it out of our hands, and I think it's worked pretty well from what I've seen as far as who's made the decisions, and the decisions have been the right ones.
We'll go next to Justin Rose.
Hey, Tom, a beautiful two-parter for you. First, does the shutdowns that are happening with you guys and with other teams in the conference and nationwide, quite frankly, has it changed your perception of this season at all as far as the legitimacy of it?
Well, when I kind of had my mini meltdown a week or so ago to you guys, I was trying to explain, to be fair to me, just how stressful this has been. When you know, when you're an assistant coach, when you're a player, you get up every day, you worry about, you know, maybe your scouting report, or the player worries about, is he ready to play? When you're a coach in this, you worry about your assistant coaches, your trainers, your players, but then you turn around and worry about your opponents. And you do that every day. And it's been every day since the day we started testing. So has it been the same or not different? Yeah, it's been different. It's been different because that's what I do every day. But on the other side of it, it's been kind of enlightening to me to see how 20-year-olds that we condemn a lot of times or you know, say how immature they are on some things, and some they are, Twitter, you know, but whatever. But for the most part, just got to get my commercial in. But for the most part, the way these guys have handled it to me has been unbelievable. And so every day I get to practice, I kind of appreciate the energy they bring and the fact that they want to be there, and the fact that they've followed the protocol about as good as anybody I'd ask. And again, I don't live with them 24 hours a day, but I'll be honest with you. I am very comfortable in my skin and their skin on what I've heard, what I've seen, and what they're doing. And sometimes, like, I'm living proof. It doesn't really matter. You know, there are no explanations for some of this. And that's why you just keep moving forward the best you can, taking care of yourself the best you can. But you can't, I don't condemn any kid who's gotten it, because for the most part, I know what everybody's doing. And when I say that, probably more than any year I've been in this job, just because I got assistant coaches, I got trainers, I got this guy, I got that guy, I got players watching each other. hell, I got my own son, so I know what he's doing most of the time. It's been interesting, but it's been a different year, but there's parts of it that have been rewarding. I mean, if kids, if our country, if people can get through this, chances are they're going to get through a lot of things that are stressful, and we just got to keep reminding them there's still people a lot worse off than us. We've had some things taken away from us. Some people have, you know, lost their lives. Some people have been seriously injured. There's a lot of different things that are going on.
Leads me to my second part. It seems like an eternity since that Purdue game. Can you almost look at this as a season refresh? You know, you guys almost had, you know, 2 weeks to training camp to start the season, and you just had another 2 week break. I know the intensity was a little different, but now that you're re-entering play and hopefully be able to get to the finish line, can you maybe reset where you guys are at a little bit?
As I talk to different people, you know, I try to, as I said, I'm on a committee with Jay Wright, and they went through even a longer period of time, and everybody's had it a little different. Sometimes the coach was out, sometimes the coaching staff was out, sometimes a bunch of players were out. In our case, we got to work out eight or nine guys. I mean, I was the only one that could do it, but it was more individual workouts for a while. You can get some things done in there, but you can't get everything. But I think you bring up a good point. It is like you're redoing training camp, except the only difference is the other teams aren't necessarily redoing training camp. So, you know, like take a team like Rutgers. They had struggled since our game. They were hot coming in our game. I want to say they were 7-8-2 and really playing well. And then since our game, they had struggled. And then they go to Indiana and maybe play their best game of the year, if you looked at it from different guys that Baker had been struggling, really, really played well. We love Baker here. We thought for 2 years he was – and then Harper, who we – he's playing well. Now they get some depth back inside that they didn't have. So, you know, they're playing better. And if I had to tell you how our guys are going to respond, if I look at the practice, they've practiced hard. They've been focused. How they'll respond to 20 days from playing a game, you know, only time's going to tell. But I will approach it, like you said, you know, kind of a second season, kind of a new start. You know, let's see if we can be, we're 0-0 in January in a little bit, and we'll go from there.
Thanks, Tom.
You're welcome.
We'll go next to Chris Solari.
Hey, Tom. The past couple of weeks with the guys you have been able to work with, what type of things have you been able to get done maybe that can translate to the court in a group setting, not just the individual stuff? I mean, were you able to work two guys at a time, three guys at a time? And what kind of things did you get to do with them?
Well, we did. We did from one on none. So one at a time. We did two. We did three. We tried to get guys that have already had it and hadn't. We separated our locker rooms again. So we were in different locker rooms. They've done a hell of a job here. You know, if I could say this for our medical people, my training staff, my equipment guy, we have really tried to separate everybody that could touch everybody. And I think we went overboard on it. But what did we learn? Well, it's funny, when I talked to Jay Wright, and he came back and they shot the ball pretty well and shot it well from the free throw line. But he said his defense and his rebounding was the worst it's been all year. And that's because you don't get any physical nature. You know, the first even banging of a body was yesterday, you know, where we really could do anything. So that part of it you miss. You usually miss the defensive intensity a little bit. Hopefully we'll shoot well from the free throw line, which we have. Hopefully we'll shoot a little better from the three, which we have. But we've been getting a lot of shooting in. And then we reviewed a lot of things like plays and stuff like that, or defensive schemes that we could do kind of one-on-one, do a little more film session in our practice gym. We've showed a lot of film in there where we could stay socially distanced. It's been unique, is the best way I can put it. But, you know, as I talked to a couple guys that have been on long pauses, you know, and this goes to, you know, everybody's questioning, should we be playing? Should we not be playing? But as I talk to these guys that have been on long pauses or now that are going on long pauses, which we really didn't do, it just turned out that way. You know, everybody's worried about the mental health of the players that don't get to play. And so I still think we've done it the best way you can do it. We've given our players an opportunity to compete. We've given fans an opportunity to watch. And I don't know if we put anybody – I still think the guys we've had are less at risk in the environment we have them in than if we were out in the general environment. That's how I look at this. So translate from practice to game, probably more in shooting, execution of things. But it'll definitely be different as far as the banging and rebounding and defending. You know, hopefully we'll get a decent day in today. But even up until yesterday, we couldn't even have two teams. So hard to scrimmage a little bit. We tried to do a little 3-on-3 one day. You know, it's different, but everybody's gone through something. So no complaints. We just got to get it done.
As a follow to that, because you mentioned about the other programs going on long pauses, is there a concern that this, and I know it's out of your hands in a lot of ways, but is there a concern that the state may step in with other athletic programs around the state and shut them down like they did with Michigan?
You know, I've heard so many different things. And, you know, when I talk with Juwan, I just, you know, talked about, you know, tough deal. I didn't get into the logistics. You know, I've heard that I've heard some of them were shut down. I heard it was the athletic departments. I heard it was a recommendation from the, I don't really know. You're talking to me about things that you guys probably have a better feel than I do. Did whether the government, whether the county shut them down, whether the athletic department, the only thing I was surprised that if they're shutting down, if the government is shutting down the athletic department, wouldn't it shut down the school? And I don't know, maybe it did. So you know, let me tell you, when I get up in the morning, there's two things that have happened. Is one, I pull for everybody right now. You know, I'm pulling for everybody to stay healthy and everybody to get to play. But number two, I got so much on my plate with Michigan State. I really don't know. You know, I try to follow up with all the schools in Michigan just because I'm pulling for all of them to be able to play. But I really don't know the circumstances to any of them. Could the government or could the county health department or whatever it is shut us down or shut any 100%? Do they have that jurisdiction? I mean, if they said shut down, we don't get to say, no, we don't think we'll do that. You know, we're saying, yes, sir, and that's what we do. Yes, ma'am, and that's what we do. So, as I said, we've followed everything here. Our doctors have been on top of it. Our trainers have been on top of it. This is the one time when everybody thinks I have a lot of power. I have zero. I just say, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And that's it. And that's kind of the way we've done it. And when they tell me I can work out three guys, I do it. When they tell me it can just be me, my assistants have to be at home because they didn't have it, I do it. And so I don't know what these other schools are doing. I do talk to the coaches periodically. But boy, everybody's different and every state is different as we're learning. Why should we all be on the same page? I would wish at least the Big Ten or the different conferences would get on the same page. There's times I'm not even sure that's happening. So I'm just glued on us, Chris, and excited that we get a chance to play on Thursday.
Go next to Lindsey Huddleston.
Thank you. Hey, Tom, congratulations on getting a chance to get back. And sorry to hear about Gabe. Kind of sticking with the theme of these long pauses, high school sports in Michigan. I know you've been hearing the rumblings of what's happening, play or not. If and when they do get a chance to play, Tom, particularly basketball, what advice can you give to players, coaches, and parents regarding the mental transition, especially playing with the COVID protocols, the strict COVID protocols?
Well, I wouldn't worry about the strict protocols. You know, I would say do whatever you got to do to play. You know, just like I've said from day one, I think we could have, if restaurants to me could have been open if people would have followed the protocol. The reason they got shut down And I agreed with it because people don't follow the protocol. So, you know, I've heard there's volleyball players playing and they're all wearing masks. Well, you know what? Maybe not quite as convenient. Beats the hell out of not playing. So I would tell these parents that just stick with your kids. You know, unless you're going to keep them in your home, not moving, I don't think on athletic fields, you know, especially some of our sports, that they're going to be worse off. I mean, if they're going to school, if they're doing all these other things, you're going to run into as many different people. Usually, and I don't know all the protocol to the high school, Lindsay, but I do know this. As I look at our players, and I've gone through this, and I went through Christmas, and, you know, listen to people say, you should go home, you shouldn't go home, you do this, you do that. I do believe this, that players, the more normalcy they can get in their life, the more students, the more regular kids, parents, the more normalcy you can have, probably the better off you are mentally. And if you're mentally sick, what I mean is run down, depressed, then it starts to become physically. You get. So I just say that with my guys, I'm so happy to have them here. I'm proud of our place that they've tried to do everything we can do here medically to keep our guys playing, because I think that helps their self-esteem and their, you know, mental approach to things. And geez, before I'm done, I got to, you know, be a politician. I got to be a psychologist or psychiatrist. I got to be all those things. And trust me when I say I'm not very good at any of those right now. Question whether I'm a very good coach, but I am a pretty good person that believes in, and what I've seen these young kids do really has impressed me. And I'm going to keep battling with them for them. And we're going to just keep moving forward the best we can. And I'm hoping that our state adheres to the protocol. I'm hoping that we can open up more things, and especially, you know, sports and even schools. I mean, some schools aren't even open, you know, because I think kids are, it's going to be hard on kids, you know, but as I say that, a couple of good friends of mine in the coaching profession just saw Shaka Smart. You know, you talk to some of these guys, when I talk to Jay, when I talk to Frank, the people that have announced that they've had it, some of them went through some very tough times. You know, it's not just about the flu like some people are telling you.
All right, Tom Izzo touching on numerous things there. And again, you heard in his press conference he couldn't state who the assistant coach was, but we now know that the assistant is Dane Fife, who tested positive along with Gabe Brown. Okay? So, Michigan State at Rutgers is still on for tomorrow. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll put a bow on this Wednesday Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, folks, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and I'm just putting a bow on this Wednesday edition of the show. On tomorrow's Current Sports, I will be previewing the Michigan State men's basketball game at Rutgers. I'll take a wider look at the Big Ten as we see it right now. I also am going to touch on the Michigan State women's basketball team. They actually added a game this week against number 7 Maryland. That's after their two games against rival Michigan were postponed because of somebody, or I should say somebody's, or somebody testing positive for the new variant of COVID-19. So they are on this 2-week hiatus right now that is causing quite the stir out in Ann Arbor. So I'll touch on that and so much more on the Thursday edition of the show. As I try to get better and fight this head cold, let's all stay safe. All right, folks. But we'll see you tomorrow. We are now on a 23-hour break. Be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.